All right. Thank you to the music team for that. Thank you so much. We'll let you take your place. Take your Bibles and open to the book of Proverbs. Open to the book of Proverbs. And we are going to continue our study in Proverbs. We're looking at relationships in a broken world. And tonight we want to look the beginning of a two or three part series, Relationships in Marriage. Relationships in Marriage. And I've titled this Finding or Becoming a Godly Wife. So I think we'll see that there's something here for all of us, whether or not we are male or female. There is instruction and understanding, I think, in the book of Proverbs on this subject. Maybe to kind of set the stage here for what we're going to look at, and then we're going to get into some verses, and I hope you guys will help me out with reading some of the Proverbs passages. But to kind of set the stage, the decision of who to choose as a life partner is one of immense magnitude. The scripture speaks of marriage as an exclusive, permanent relationship commitment between one man and one woman for one lifetime. So for one to marry the wrong person, there are no quick solutions. In fact, Proverbs, the writer of Proverbs, assumes that we live with our own mistakes because divorce is not an option. And so this then becomes a helpful study. Now remember, primarily in the book of Proverbs, the author, there are several authors, but Solomon is the primary one. Solomon is seeking to disciple his young son, who is coming of age perhaps and venturing out into life. And so he has instruction and wisdom that he wants to instill in his son. And so these are the teachings of Solomon to his son. There are many marriages in the Bible that we can view. Some of them were less than ideal. Sometimes I wonder about Sarah and Abraham. Certainly in some of the accounts, she appeared pretty bossy. I mean, she kind of took control of the situation and going to figure out how they were going to have a child when it didn't seem like God was coming through. Job's wife, we have that example in the book of Job, who offered no comfort to her husband whatsoever in his time and his darkest hour of trial. In fact, her idea was, well, just curse God and die. God spare us Job's wife. And then the story that we looked at last week of Abigail and Naboth, she was, we were told in 1 Samuel 25:3, a wise and beautiful woman, but her husband was harsh and evil. In fact, chapter 25 and verse 25, 1 Samuel, the word Naboth, his name actually means fool. So I don't know what his parents were thinking when they named him, but they named him fool. And that was his name, and he lived up to that name. And so we have many examples of marriage in the Bible. But the purpose that we have tonight of dealing with this subject of relationships within marriage is to warn those who would enter into marriage casually without serious consideration of the consequence of their decision. Because when we enter into a marriage, we make a vow that we are obligated to keep. In fact, Proverbs chapter 20, we can start over there if you want. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 25 says, "It is a snare to say rashly, it is holy." In other words, you're making a vow to set something apart to God. "And then to reflect only after making a vow." That's a snare to us. And so God takes vows very seriously. So our purpose is to warn. Our purpose is to encourage those of us who have already entered into marriage to strive to become the kind of mate that Proverbs holds before us as the biblical ideal. Now remember, I've mentioned Proverbs is a book intended to teach a young son or a young man how to become a godly leader. It's fitting then that he also instructs young women about what kind of woman they should be and what kind of man they should marry. One who will become a godly leader of their home. And we'll delve into some of that in our next time together. So as we jump into our study through the writings of Proverbs, let's have a word of prayer. Father, please do. We've asked you already, but again we ask you that you would meet with us and guide us through the passages that you'd help our understanding, that you'd help us to make application, that you would make application to each one of us here this evening. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so here's some principles for what we're discussing. Principles from Proverbs. Proverbs, and we're going to see that when we start looking at all these verses, the big idea here is Proverbs, the writer of Proverbs, is encouraging us to choose a mate wisely based on character. In fact, there's an illustration of that. If you remember in Genesis chapter number 24, when Abraham sent his wisest servant, Ishmael, he sent him to get a bride for his son. And so the servant travels to the homeland, this wise servant, and he devised a test in Genesis chapter 24 that would reveal the character of the young woman. Of course, if we read that story in Genesis 24, we know that Rebecca comes out and she comes to water her father's sheep. And he had devised this test to reveal character. He was looking for a woman for his master's son who would be a servant at heart. Someone willing to give water to a stranger and to the stranger's camels. So a man who would marry well, Proverbs is instructing us, will choose his life's mate based on her character, not primarily based upon her looks or her personality. Can someone read, we're going to start looking at verses, chapter 31 and verse 30. Simon, could you do that? 31:30? No, sorry. That's Genesis. Okay, hold on. So, sorry, Simon. 19:14. Sorry, 19:14. And then, Dennis, do you mind? 18:22. And then, Corbin, why don't you do 27:15 and 16? Doris, can you do one? 12:4. Corbin, you're 27:15 and 16. 12:4. Coming across here. Any of you ladies willing to read? Just wave at me. Okay. 1:6. Rachel, anybody else here? I'm just going to go row by row because I got a lot to read. Okay. 31:30. And Sunday, you mind? Okay. 5:6. Kennedy, 6:24. Who else across here can help me? Anybody else on that row? Les? 12:4. All right. Let's see. Next row, let me ask Tim. Do you mind doing 31:10? And guys, if you don't remember these, I won't remember who has what, right? So, Lisa, do you mind? Chapter 1 and verse 20. Helen, can I pick on you? Okay. Chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. No, forget, for sake of time, do 9, chapter 9, verse 1 through 3. Okay. What about Jackson's? By the way, it's good to have Ed and look at Jackson back with us. Thank you. Are you guys willing to read for us? Yeah, you good? All right, let me see where I was. 14:1? Rebecca and Ed, 31:26. Let me give two more. All right, I'm up at the next row. 9:13. Amaranth, are you good? 9:13. And then 11:22. You want to do that? Okay, we've got many more, but we've worked our way halfway through the congregation here, okay? Okay, so we're being encouraged by Solomon to choose a life mate based on character, not on the basis of looks or personality. For those of us already married, we should not focus our attention on how our mate fails to measure up, but rather on how we can be a godly husband or a godly wife. All right, so we're going to hit 19:14. Marriage is a divine institution, and I want to see that it is God who gives a man a virtuous wife. 19:14. Okay, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. A man's choice of a life partner may either be his making or his breaking, either a delight or a disaster. And I think we see the contrast of that. 18:22. Okay, so it's a beautiful thing. This is a gift from God. It's God's favor bestowed upon this man. All right, but listen now to 27, verse 15 and 16. Loudly. Okay, which you can't do, right? You can't grab the wind and you can't restrain oil. If it's spilling, right, the continuous, like rain, a continuous dripping on a rainy day is an argumentative wife, all right? So there's the two contrasts. So there's the potential then, and we'll see next time that it's the same for the man, but there's a potential for a wife to be good or evil. Who's got 12 verse 4, chapter 12, 4? All right, I don't know about anybody else. I cannot hear you. Okay, all right. So an excellent wife, there's the contrast, is a crown, a glory to her husband. But one who acts in such a way that brings shame is like an infection inside of his bones, right? Rottenness in his bones. There's the contrast. The potential that a wife has for good or evil. So as we consider the character traits of a godly mate, remember that godliness can only be found in a maturing believer. There's an assumption that's being made here. Only can be found in a maturing believer. So what I want to do now is I want us to read a whole host of scriptures, and I want us to identify Five characteristics of a godly wife. Can I just say, maybe I could say a godly woman. Whether you're a wife or you're not a wife, or whether you'll ever be a wife, that really I don't think is the point. Characteristics of a godly woman who then would make a godly wife. Okay? So, number one, here are the five. Number one. And this kind of is repetitive, but I'm trying to make a point here. Number one, a godly wife is godly. A godly wife is godly. All right? Chapter 1 and verse 6. Seven, yes. Sorry. Okay, sorry, it was supposed to be number seven. So what we learn right off the bat in the key verse that we identified in Proverbs is that godliness begins with a proper relationship with God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So a godly wife is first a woman who fears God. So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Now look at this example of a godly wife, chapter 31 and verse 30. Is to be praised, is to be exalted. So a godly wife is first a woman who fears God. We're also warned in Proverbs by Solomon to avoid a woman who does not know God and does not fear God. Okay, so listen to these verses. 5:6 and then 6:24. Okay. Okay. All right. Good. Thank you. So we are to avoid a woman who does not know or fear God. And Proverbs is filled with warnings for this son, that he doesn't go down that path. So a godly wife is referred to in Proverbs as virtuous or excellent. The moral excellence of a godly wife is a result of her godliness. Chapter 12, verse 4. 12:4. All right, we looked at that again just a moment ago. An excellent wife is the crown of her husband. The moral excellence of a godly wife is a result of her godliness. 31:10. Okay. So she reflects the characteristics of the God that she loves and serves. That's the first characteristic. She is godly. She reflects the characteristics of the God she loves and serves. So, characteristics of a godly wife is godly. Number two, a godly wife is wise. A godly wife is wise. Who's got Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 20? Okay, just the point there is noticed here that wisdom, he's describing wisdom, and throughout Proverbs, wisdom is personified as a woman. All right, so she raises her voice in the streets. Chapter 9, verse 1 through 3. Okay, again, you see wisdom here is personified as a woman. She has built her house. She has hewn her seven pillars. She has slaughtered. She has mixed. She has set. She has sent out these young ladies. And again, you see that in chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. Wisdom is personified as a woman. The ideal wife is characterized by being this woman of wisdom. Look what it says in 14:1. And some are soft-spoken, so I hope you're flipping in the scriptures and following along as we read. 14:1. Yeah. The wisest of women build her own house. Chapter 31, verse 26. Okay, how does she open her mouth? She opens her mouth with wisdom. So a godly wife is wise. She is characterized by being a woman of wisdom. Now, Solomon also warns his son that the opposite of a woman of wisdom, the opposite of a godly wife who is wise, is a woman of folly. Listen to 9:13. Okay, the woman, and he calls her folly. The woman, folly, is loud. She is seductive. She knows nothing. So it's interesting. Solomon personifies personifies folly as a woman and wisdom as a woman. And he's contrasting the two. Okay, chapter 11, verse 22. What does that say? Okay. She's beautiful, but you get around that person very long and she has no wisdom. She's foolish. And he likens it to putting a beautiful piece of jewelry in a pig's snout. So a godly wife is godly, Solomon points out. And secondly, a godly wife is wise. She fears the Lord. Number three, chapter 12, verse 4, just the first part. Did I give this one yet? I did. 12:4, but just the first half of that verse. Okay, all right. Okay, say it again. Okay, all right. So an excellent wife is the crown of her husband. Chapter 31, have I given this one? Chapter 31, verse 11 and 12, did I give it? No? I think I stopped there, didn't I? Okay, who can read 31, 11 and 12? Okay, you gotcha back there. Chapter 12, verse 4, you're gonna go back to it, Doris, since you've got 12:4. A minute, I'm gonna ask you to read the second half of that verse, alright? 19:13? Okay, Brother Jackson, 19:13. 11:16? Okay, thank you, Faith. 21:9 and 19. I'll give you both since it's the same chapter. 21:9 and 19. 25:24. Don't scratch your head. Okay, you got it, brother. 21:19. Ali, you got it? 21:19. chapter 2, verse 16 and 17. I'm all the way up in the back now. Chapter 2, verse 16 and 17, Hector, your son just volunteered you. Saidi, chapter 6, verse 24. And then I need someone to do 7, 18, and 19. I guess we can come back. In fact, anyone can do this. 7, 18, and 19. Just any. Okay, Brother Simon. Chapter 31, verse 10. I got like 4. Thank you. Chapter 31, verse 11. Chapter 31, verse 11. Okay, thank you, Joe. Chapter 31, verse 12. Chapter 31, verse 12. I just saw a little hand, but that couldn't be right. Okay, that's not a right volunteer. That was somebody else. 31, 12. Okay, Helen. And 31, 3. Which is my last one. 31, 3. Who'll do that one? Okay, Laz, I saw you first. Okay. Okay, so the point being made is number three is a godly wife honors her husband. A man who has married a godly wife has a wife who will bring honor to him. She's truly a helper to her husband. And we just heard in chapter 12, verse 4, that an excellent wife is a crown, or some translations, the glory of her husband. She's his honor. She brings him praise. She brings favor upon him because of who she is, her character. Chapter 31, verse 11 and 12. Yeah, she does him good. Right? She does him good. She never does him harm all the days of her life. You know what? One thing that I think causes harm sometimes is when ladies get together and gossip about their husband amongst themselves. It's not doing him good and not harm all the days of his life. Just to be thinking in those ways, this woman honors her husband. An ungodly wife, now here's, of course, Solomon's good at this contrast. So an ungodly wife, instead of honoring her husband and helping her husband, an ungodly wife humiliates and harasses him. And perhaps you've seen this exemplified in some of the relationships that you've seen or you're aware of. She's not a helper to her husband, but rather she's a hindrance to him. Okay, so 12:4, but the second part of that verse, what does it say? Yeah, but so there was the contrast, right? The wise wife is an exalts her husband, honors him, but this woman brings him shame, hardship. She who brings him shame is like rottenness in his bones. Chapter 19, verse 13. Again, this is the contrast. Okay? The contentions of a wife. I think there's an exhortation here through Solomon as he's warning his son and instructing his son. I mean, to be honest, ladies, I mean, excuse me, my wife's not feeling good today. She's not here. But it can't be easy to live, being a lady and a wife, even in the best of times, it can't sometimes be easy to live with the guy, right? Interact with the guy. It can't be. Because we're two fallen people. And even though there's godliness and a striving for righteousness and obedience to the word, there are disagreements, there are personality conflicts. Conflict happens, right? And sometimes perhaps we're tempted to get into this rut of you want the man to do something or be a certain way, and he's not. And he hasn't been for the whole 10 years you've been married to him. And so you say it again and again and again and again and again and again and again. And you keep going back and you keep going back and you keep going back. That continual dripping. I read about some of the torture that was done during the German Second World War with the Japanese in the Second World War, and one of the tortures that they would use to get prisoners to talk was to tie them underneath a drip of water where they were immobile, they could not move, and there was a drip of water on the forehead. Just continuously. Now, that doesn't sound like a big deal. It's not painful. A drip of water. And they said that after so many hours, it would drive the person insane. And I think that's what Solomon is talking about here. A constant dripping, complaining, nagging. Reminding. It's harassing or humiliating. And I mentioned the one way of humiliating your husband is to do it behind his back when you're with your friends and you're complaining about the man on the phone or with your friends, right? Humiliating and harassing. We're warned about this. Rather, we ought to be striving to be and striving to the kind of woman that we want to marry, if we are looking for a wife, is one who honors her husband because she is a godly woman, and she honors her husband because she is seeking to honor the Lord. So, characteristics. Godly wife is godly, Proverbs tells us. A godly wife is wise. And a godly wife, number three, honors her husband. Okay, let me wrap this up. I got 10 minutes. A godly wife, number five, is gracious. Chapter 11, verse 16. Did I give that? 11:16? Okay, great. Thank you. That first line. A gracious woman gets honor. She's gracious. One reason honor is given to her is that she is known for her great, oh, thanks, for her graciousness. Now, here again, Solomon with his contrast, right? We don't want to just focus on the negative, but he brings out the negative to reaffirm the positive that he's seeking to instruct his son with. So a godly woman is known for her graciousness, her kindness. She's honored for that. But the ungodly woman is vexing due to her contentious nature. All right, so who has 21, 9, and 19? Just read them both. Can you lift up your voice just a little bit? In verse 19, with a contentious and better to live in a desert than with a contentious and angry woman, right? So here's the opposite of graciousness. Chapter 25, verse 24. All right, I was just up in Morocco, and they have housetops, and we spent a lot of time up on the housetop, up on the flat roof up there, and it got hot in the afternoon. Didn't want to be up there, but he said, "Look, it's better to go and pitch a tent in a corner of the flat roof of the house somewhere than to be down in this beautiful house with a wife who quarrels." Right, so he's making this contrast. That's not being gracious. 21:19. Okay? All right, so basically saying I did that twice. My apologies. So basically saying the same thing. An ungodly woman is vexing due to her contentious nature. So a godly wife, number four, a godly wife is gracious. She's gracious. And then number five, there's more in the book of Proverbs, of course, but number five for tonight, a godly wife is faithful to her husband. Now, again, Solomon loves contrast. So this is easily seen when contrasted to this woman folly. Remember he said folly, we saw that just a moment ago. So to contrast to folly, we can easily see a godly wife is faithful to her husband. And you contrast that with a woman of folly who is an adulteress. Chapter 2, verse 16 and 17. Listen to the warning that he gives to his son. Okay. Forsakes the companion of a youth, that would be her husband, and forgets the covenant that she had made with her God. All right. Chapter 6, verse 24. 6:24. Okay. Chapter 7, verse 18 and 19. Next verse. Okay. So here's the illustration of a woman who knows her husband is away on business and she's out in the streets inviting illicit affairs. Right? So this is the opposite of faithfulness. So a godly wife is one who is faithful to her husband, who maintains her sexual purity. She is virtuous. Chapter 31, verse 10. Yeah, an excellent wife, or sometimes some of the translation reads that word excellent as virtuous, right? She's excellent. She's virtuous. She's a rare treasure. To find a virtuous, excellent wife, it's more valuable to you than a bag full of jewels. Right? That's what Solomon is saying. Notice this godly wife, her husband has complete trust in her. Chapter 31, verse 11. And he have no lack of gain. He completely trusts her. He trusts her with his resources, with his finances. He trusts her that she would only do him right and well and good, and that she will make wise decisions. He completely trusts her in all things. This is the godly wife who is faithful to her husband. Notice chapter 31 and verse number 12. She only does her husband good and not evil. 31:12. All the days of her, and listen, you know, when you've been married for 10, 12, 15, 25, I think our next one is 35. I think we're 35 years in this September, I think. All the days of your life is a long time. Like, I've been doing the dude good by 20 years. And I've been swallowing it. For 20 years, I've been swallowing the stuff that he does that just drives me crazy. I'm done. That man's going to change, or we're going to be at war. Notice what 31:12 says. This godly wife is faithful to her husband to do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Oh, what a treasure. No wonder this woman is such a treasure. If you can find her, young men who are not yet married, if you can find this one, you will have a wonderful life. And notice that it's this godly wife who is faithful to her husband who is in fact teaching her son the virtues of sexual purity. Because she can speak to the subject because she herself is sexually pure. Listen to 31:3. This is amazing. Okay. Alright. Look at 31:1. The words of King Lemuel. So he wrote this. An oracle. Where did he get this? His mother. This is an oracle that his mother taught him. And then he goes into what it means to be a virtuous wife. His mother taught his son what he should be looking for in a virtuous, godly wife. In verse 3, she warns him, this is the mother of King Lemuel, warning her son, he warns her not to drink wine, in verse number 4. But in verse number 3, do not give your strength to women, your ways to those who destroy kings. So what's the point? Well, the highest goal is for you to be a woman of godliness and wisdom. As important as it is, ladies, to present yourself attractively, through your choice of clothing and hairstyle and beauty products. None of us are against any of that. It's all good. It is far more important to be a woman of godly character. So, here's the challenge for this week. Search the book of Proverbs, ladies, and ask God to make you a woman, a godly woman, as described in this book of wisdom. And men, young men, or men who have not yet married, when that time comes, if that time comes, select a woman of godly character. Look for a woman with godly character to be your wife. Father, thank you for Proverbs. Thank you that we can read these scriptures and discover or be reminded of the wisdom that comes to us. Wisdom for living. And in this case, as tonight, wisdom for how we are to be a godly woman, if that's who we are, or how to determine and select someone to be our future wife who is a godly woman. I pray, Lord, that we would be godly men and godly women. Men and women in Kitwe Church who reflect the character and the nature of God in how we live, how we relate, how we interact, the decisions that we make. Help us to be obedient, humble, and submitted unto you, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Go in grace and peace, friends. Thank you so much for being here. Don't forget, we also have a Sunday evening service next Sunday with a special speaker, Pastor Mark Deb.